Yes, we're gonna make it. We're gonna make it. By the Spirit of the Lord, we'll make it through. Yes, Jesus Christ has shown the way, and His words we will obey. We're gonna make it, we're gonna make it all the way. Yes, we're gonna make it, we're gonna make it. By the Spirit of the Lord, we'll make it through. Jesus Christ has shown the way, and His words we will obey. We're gonna make it, we're gonna make it all the way.
We're gonna make it all the way. wish on the way. His words we will obey. We're gonna make it. We're gonna make it all the way.
Oh yes, we're gonna make it.
We're gonna make it. By the Spirit of the Lord, we'll make it through. Jesus Christ has shown the way.
Yes, he lifts me up when I'm down,
cheers me when I'm sad. Jesus.
took away the bad. He lifts me up when I'm down, cheers me when I'm sad.
Jesus is the best friend
I've ever had.
Jesus is the best friend I've ever had.
He has done me nothing but good, took away the bad.
Fired up inside. I appreciate being able to come into a place and hear the wonderful oracles of God that way. Give me a clear vision of the body of Christ and our message. Brother Smith, that excited me today. That was a strong message to show me a little bit more about the path that I'm on, a little bit more of a clear vision of where we're going as a people. And I want to lift up my hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting me come and sit in this heavenly place. And I appreciate that. And I don't want to let that pass. I was thinking, and let me really quick before I get wound up, it seems like, let me apologize. I have been given the opportunity to put this on our brothers as they come up here. If someone doesn't get it put on them, that's because I got focused on them and totally forgot about it. I'm not meaning to do that. So if you guys see me just sitting there looking goofy, wave at me and point at them, and then I'll go up and put it on them, okay? So I'm sorry, I apologize for not getting it on everybody. I'm just, obviously I didn't even put it on myself. So there you go. So I just have been so thankful thinking about what Brother Smith presented today. And the band number that was presented out there, that first part of it in the chorus is talking about, you might have to help me, marching forward. Okay. If you can put it back up there, the band number. It was reminding me of back when what Brother Smith was talking about today when he was relating back to Joel, as far as whenever they were going forward, you know, they had the Garden of Eden before them, and let's see, we've been washed in blood. We're going forth. There's nothing that can stop this mighty. That's it. There's nothing. We're going forth, and there's nothing that can stop this mighty moving force with a shout of praise and a two-edged sword. You know, we've got that two-edged sword right here, and I was just mentioning this earlier. You know, that two-edge, it's a very interesting tool because I might be swinging outward, but when it comes back, it's going to cut away any flesh that I have in my life as well. If I say anything, that Bible is going to take care. I need to be careful, first off, when I'm using this word of God, because everything that I say can and will be used against me. It will come back and toward me. But what I was thinking about in relation to that song right there, just like in Joel, you know, and I'm going to relate this back to me in this. I have been given an opportunity to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. I don't want to minimize that. I want to really put it in its proper place. You know, I'm not just being taught here. As Brother Smith was relating today, you know, if you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your sins, your past sins, you're good to go, and you're going to go on to heaven, and whenever your time comes, God will take care of you, and you're good to go. You know, that's not the message that I've been taught. You know, I'm hearing this, and what I'm hearing today, you know, as he was given a clear picture of what's to come, I'm also getting that, prophetic gift was working in you today. Because what I felt like over there was, whew, is it tomorrow? Is it coming right now? Because I'm feeling a little pressure right now. I'm feeling like, you know what? I need to make sure. I want to be in that just class of people. I want to be part of that group of people. I want to press toward the high calling in Jesus Christ. I'm not here to make the new earth. I don't want to have to wait 1,000 years to resurrect to find, oh, you know what? It's because I died. I was in death. Because I'm sorry, I'm not in hell today. I'm not in hell, but I could be in death. I could be in death. I could allow myself to sit there and die in this church and die on the vine and be twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and not be of any use to God. And that is not what I want. I want to lift my hands for Him today. I want to praise His mighty name. He is worthy of all praise. You know, this is something to get excited about. I don't want to come in here to church after hearing a message like we heard today. I mean, it really convicted my heart. You know, he wasn't telling me the do's and the don'ts and the things that I'm doing wrong in my life. What he was showing is, you know what, here's what's going to be happening. Where are you going to be? What's your choice? You know, I really appreciate it and how you related it. You related it to the second resurrection when you said they're going to have either two choices, you know, either God still or not. Or, you know, going to be in the Gog and Magog, you know. Take a choice, you know. Well, the thing is, I've got that choice today. I have that choice right now. I can choose, just like Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Who am I going to serve? And, you know, I'm not distracted by physical gods of wood and stone and brass and gold like the Old Testament. But what I have to be careful of this God right here that I can lift up, my priorities. What do I think is more important than God? What am I doing today? Am I showing Him by my actions? Am I showing Him by my love? By my wanting to build that relationship with Him? Am I showing Him that He is number one priority in my life? That I am serving Him with all my heart, soul, and might? Or am I putting Him on the back burner? Because today, and this hit me pretty strong, whenever He was talking about, we're really suffering on those padded pews. You know, oh no, the air conditioning, it's a degree off and I'm a little hot. Brother Smith, we need to work on that. I mean, you know, it's really working on my nature today. You know, how am I suffering? How am I suffering today? I am being so blessed, and like a good father, God is saying, you know what? Look what I'm doing for you. I'm taking care of you and I'm giving you these jewels. You know, these, if you will, as a child, I like to play with marbles. Okay, well, God has given me marbles made out of diamonds and precious gold and silver, and so I don't want to take those for granted. I don't want to say, well, I don't care. This is no big deal. Now, I'm getting up here. I'm professing my heart to my brothers and sisters. I want to be saved by the word of my testimony. I want to stand up and say, I am here to serve the Almighty God. I want to be a part of that bride of Jesus Christ. I want to, you know, if tomorrow something happens to me, you know, I want to be able to rest and know that I died in Christ and that there won't be anything keeping me in that grave. I'm coming up out of there. Whenever that call comes, when that white throne judgment is in the earth, that there's nothing going to be keeping me in that ground, and I'll be able to move on into that perfect church and get the rest of the knowledge and the spirit that I need. And so I really wanted to get up and say how appreciative I was to hear those words, because they helped me a little bit more. You know, time and time again, God is relating to me, even today. I'm going to share something. I hope my mom doesn't mind, but you know, I have trouble with directions. Okay, and I've related that before. But it was so interesting because obviously now I know where I got it from, okay? I come by it, honestly, maybe it's genetics. But we were on our way to see Sister Elsie at the hospital, and Sister Bonnie Dodge was going to turn one way to go to 6:30, and my mom goes, no, go straight, it's quicker. So Sister Bonnie, like, you know, she's a good person, she goes, okay, I can go. So she goes on over and she drives, and then mom's like, okay, turn left over here. And so we're going right along. I'm just along for the ride. I'm just sitting in the back. I'm oblivious. Next thing you know, so we're about to turn into Baptist Hospital. And then one of them basically realizes, oh, wait, she's not at Baptist Hospital. She's at St. Vincent's. So my mom was helping with the great quick directions to Baptist Hospital. The problem was we were trying to get to St. Vincent's. And that's where I was thinking about, you know, so often, you know, I have to, just telling you, I mean, they can relate some more of it if they want later, but, you know, they knew they wanted to get to Sister Elsie. And I think someone knew that she was in St. Vincent's, but maybe my mom was just being iniquitous. I don't know. She was doing something there. She was like, well, you know, it's quicker to go to Baptist. So, you know, it doesn't matter if she's at Baptist or not. Let's go to Baptist. But I want to know where I'm going. I want to know how I'm going to get there. I want to know the steps I need to take. And I want to be checking myself along the way. I want to be introspective. And I want to say, God, correct me. If I'm going down that wrong path, if I'm taking a left turn when you're telling me to take a right turn, God, stop me in my tracks. You know, I was talking recently with the youth about distractions. And I was talking about cell phones and just the way this world is today. And I was thinking back to the prophet. I don't know that it gives his name, but it's right after Jeroboam and Rehoboam, after the kingdom has been split. And I think it's in, let me see if I get that. I think it's in, is it in Kings, where the prophet goes to the altar and the king is there, and that's where the hand shrivels up. Can y'all help me with that real quick? Where is in that Kings, I think? Is that 1 Kings, is it 13? A great thing had just taken place here. This prophet had came, and he had prophesied before the altar. He had told about one day, you know, this king of David's line, Josiah, would be born. And he's doing all these great things. You know, and he had specific instructions from God. You know, don't go back the same way you came. Go a different route. And he understood what God had told him. But along the way, I love it. It says prophet. I don't know if he was a false prophet at one time or what kind of prophet, but he had it in his mind, I want to see this guy because obviously he just did a great thing, and I want him to come with me. And so if I remember correctly here, that prophet lied to the other prophet and said, you know, well, God said you need to come with me. And if I remember, that took him back to his house. And then after, let me see if I can find that here where he was saying that exactly. Yes, verse 20. This is after the other prophet went back to the house with the older prophet who had lied to him. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drank that he saddled for him the donkey to wit for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the donkey stood by and the lion also. You know, why I'm relating that today in my own personal walk is I can make excuses to do things that I want to do in my spirit. And I can justify myself so quickly and say, you know, well, I know God told me to do this, but I really feel God moving on me to go another direction. Even though I've been taught by the ministry, even though I've been given those directions, I go in my own spirit, in my own flesh, and I let other things distract me from that. That message today was one, it was a clearly defined message. You know what? Here's what we have out before us. Where, though, this is what I felt like God was talking to my heart. Where do you see yourself in that? Where do you want to be in that? Brother Smith, he did a great job of laying it out there, you know. Am I going to be one, Brother Durham, that allows myself to be beheaded? That lets Jesus truly be the head of my life? Or am I going to choose to put my own head back in its place and make decisions? Am I going to say, you know what? I would rather do this, or I'm going to go a different pathway. You know, I'm too tired. I don't really want to get up tonight in church. I don't want to raise my hands for God. You know, it's not a big deal. But every time I make those decisions, what am I doing? I'm doing like this prophet. I'm choosing to go a different route. I'm choosing to go back to where I've been brought from. And God said, don't go back that way. He said, go forward. He said, go a different route. And that's what I want to do. Today, I want to lift my hands. I want to lift God up and say, God, help me. Help me to go the right way, Lord. When my ministry shows me what I need to be doing, when my ministry says, this is the path, God, let me humble myself down. Let me say, Brother Smith, I want to know more. I want to find out more about what, because honestly, I mean, you know, I've seen you hooked up many times before, but you were on fire up here. I mean, I saw some electricity coming out. I was thinking something's about to happen. And whenever I see that on him, I want to stand up and take notice. I want to realize God is talking through him today. What is he saying for my life? I want to give that ear to my God when he's talking. You know, when he says in Revelations over and over and over, you know, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. God, help me to unstuff my ears today. Help me to get the distractions out of my life. Help me to put my cell phone down. Help me to take and get the thoughts of my job out of my mind. Everything is going on, and just say, God, can I not give you enough time to just listen to you today, Lord, and to just be still and quiet and say, God, lead me and guide me. And I just wanted to get up and bare my heart. Because, you know, he's been so merciful to me. He has helped me so many times in those songs, Sister Cindy. I really appreciate those songs. You know, he is my best friend. He's never done me wrong. When I've been sad, when I didn't know what direction to take, he has always been there for me. I could go back and I could rely on this, on the solid rock. I could go back to Christ and say, Lord, help me. Help me. I've fallen short. I'm not listening to you right now. But God, just have mercy on me. And every time, he's had mercy on me. Every time, he has forgiven me. And I don't want to take that for granted. I just wanted to get up and just lift my voice tonight and say, I am thankful to be in the house of the Lord. I am thankful. You know, let us go. How did he say that? Let us go into the house of the Lord. He said, ma'am? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, there's nowhere else I would rather be today than here, listening to these things and learning a little bit more about him. So I appreciate you guys listening to me. I just wanted to bare my heart and say how much I appreciate Brother Smith. I appreciate you. I appreciate this ministry, of just whatever part I can play in it, however I can be of assistance, whatever, because I want to be there. I want to be a part of that, Brother McGowan. I want to be a part of that judge class of people. That's what he was preaching here today. I want to be a part of that. Don't you, saints? It's a beautiful vision. You know, it's not fairy tales. It's not fiction. It is more real than anything this world has to offer. It is the oracles of God, and we have been entrusted with them. Praise the Lord. I want to see, and I want to hear. I'm just thankful to be here.
I'm happy to be here tonight. Happy for the grace that I feel in my life. I know that God loves me, and I have confidence. I have confidence that the Lord is with me. And you know, when you have confidence, you can accomplish just about anything. Brother Talley was talking about a few services back. He was talking about not being able to speak in front of people. And I'm going to tell a dirty truth. We around our house, we have the dirty truth. And, you know, that's some stories where you tell that there's just not a good outcome. But it's still the truth, and you can mask it and hide it and sugarcoat it, and it's still bad. When I was 12, my class schedule got messed up in school, and they put me into a speech class. Well, I was in seventh grade, and I was in there with eighth and ninth graders. I was the youngest kid in the class, and I really didn't know what to do. And I sure in the world was not going to give a speech in front of these older kids. I was just totally intimidated by it. And so I just failed the class. I just wouldn't do it. And I remember my teacher encouraging me to write a speech, get up and talk. And it would just I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And I remember getting my first quarter grade, and it was a 21%. And I had never had an F in my life, let alone a 21%. You know, that's just wrong. You know, a kid ought to get something just for showing up. That wasn't the case. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing that'll motivate somebody to learn how to speak in front of a class and get a 21% on your report card. Because failing is not an option. And you know, that's as in relation to Brother Smith's talk today. The failure here isn't an option. And the reason it's not an option is because God has given us an incredible amount of grace and liberty to grow and develop. We're not just here, you know. Paul, he made a comment, the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm not as one that's beating the air. He said, I'm not just fighting an invisible enemy. Everybody knows what shadow boxing is. I'm not a boxer. I've been in a few fist fights, but I'm not a boxer. I guess these guys that are, they'll get up and they'll shadow box, where they're basically imagining somebody in front of them, I suppose. Somebody here may see know more about it than I do. And so they're just punching, you know, like they're just punching an invisible enemy. But the Apostle Paul, he wasn't a shadow boxer. He wasn't fighting somebody he couldn't see. And neither are we. We're not fighting something hiding behind the bushes, or you know, the boogeyman in the dark, or what. We're not fighting something that's out here that's just going to destroy us, but we can't see it or know anything about it. It's just looming gloom and darkness coming someday. That's not us. The Bible says that the carnal mind is the enemy of God. It's not subject to the will of God, and neither indeed can be. It's impossible. It's impossible for our natural will to fulfill God's will. Because for us to fulfill His will, He requires the submission of our will. Eventually, even the death, the surrender of our will. And so, here we are. I had a friend that told me one time, he said, if you're having your way, you're having the wrong way. Now, I didn't like that. I don't even like saying it right now, because it doesn't taste good. You know, the words, you just want them back. You don't It's so hard to comprehend that. Well, how can it be that bad? Well, it's not bad. It's just not God's way. Now, there are people in the world that are entirely eat up with selfishness. And usually those are the people that you read about in the papers that are hurting somebody or murdered somebody or abusive or taking advantage of some sort or another, working iniquity or whatever the case may be. There's some people that are just totally consumed with selfishness. And in my estimation, if you want to get to the root of evil, selfishness is about as close to the root of evil as you'll find. And it's our benefit as children of God to seek our brother's wealth, to see that others are blessed and encouraged and uplifted and their needs met. In fact, the writer James said that pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and the widows. And so we know that we're to serve one another, and if you look in 1 Corinthians 13, you'll find just a whole list of things that you can do and not do to fulfill the will of God in your life. And basically, it all rolls right back around to charity. And putting God first, it's a process. And I'll just be candid with you. I still, Brother Smith, have a lot of questions about how this guy can make the bride. You know, I'm going to say this. I know that Jeremiah said that no man knoweth his own heart. God knows the heart of man. I recognize that. But I know the things that I've done, the places that I've been, the experiences that I've had. And I know that this earthly, fleshly body, this mind, this life I have is nothing. It's nothing. So how can I make it? And so I still have some questions for you even later perhaps. But here's the thing about it. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And He didn't call us for a pathway of failure. He's given us an opportunity. He's given us a chance to strive lawfully for the bride. And that goes to every one of you. That's not, the ones that have been here for 20 years and, you've got to... That's not just for the ones that have been here for 50 years. That's not just for the ones that are born here but it's the Johnny come latelys. It's me, It's the ones that basically are first generation finding this way. And it's the ones that are second and third and fourth generation. Because we all have to come to a place where we surrender ourselves to the Lord and allow Him to work His grace in our life. I want to say magic. He is kind of magical. Not like Disney and all that stuff. I'm not talking about fantasy, because what I'm talking about is reality. We just don't hardly see, we don't hardly understand it. But we're reaching out for it by faith. We're exercising our faith in believing that God has called us to reach perfection. And by doing that, by confessing it, by reading about it, by putting on charity like we're instructed to do, and abstaining from the flesh, we are exercising our faith and we're producing fruit. We're producing, the Bible says that there's, I think it's in James, I guess, talking about the fruit of charity, perfectness. And so we're here, we're exercising, we're trying to put on things, we're trying to put on what we perceive to be the fruit of God. And Now, do I get discouraged in the process? You bet. When I look at that rascal in the mirror and know where he's been and what he's done, is it frustrating? Sure it is. It's incredibly frustrating. It's humiliating. And I tell the Lord, Lord, I'm with you, Lord. I don't know why you called me, but I'm not leaving. I'm yours, Lord. Use me as you will. That's a mouthful. A friend of mine used to say, that's a jawbreaker. Because when you say it, thank you, Brother Weininger, that's exactly right. It's easy to say, it's hard to say sometimes, but it's even harder to do. And I thought, as Brother Phil was talking about, knowing God's will. Wow, what a challenge that is. What a challenge it is to know the will of God for your life. And so it's a walk of faith. That's essentially what it boils down to. And so, you know, it's just like Sunday night church. There was no question in my mind where I needed to be tonight. There wasn't a question. But, you know, there have been times in my life where I might have had that question. But God settled me in that. There wasn't any question in my mind when I woke up this morning about where I need to be today. God settled me in that. But I'll tell you, Brother Durham, there's things in my mind that God hasn't settled. I'm asking Him to. I'm praying that He will. And I'm trusting that He will. And I know, but see, here's the thing. This is where the rubber meets the road, is I know the things that I'm not settled on, I know I'm going to fail until I am. There's going to be that moment where I'm going to make a mistake. I'm not going to have that conviction or that confidence that I was looking for because I'm not settled. And the Bible says that he that lacketh wisdom, let him ask from the Lord, and the Lord will give him liberally. If you lack anything tonight, don't hesitate to ask. If there's something, if there's a hunger, now I don't believe in God's just a cosmic Santa Claus and he's just going to give you everything you need just like that. But if you'll keep trusting Him and keep exercising your faith, it seems like here recently maybe it's Brother Smith talking, that it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's just a daily walk. It's not all over in a moment. It's not all over just, you know, when I got saved as a young boy. I got my sins, you know, washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. I invited the Lord in my heart to be my personal Savior. It's just like it happened and it was over. That was just an experience. Read John 3:16, for God so loved the world, they gave His only begotten Son. And I don't want to make light of that. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it was just like that moment was just here and then gone. Wow, when I got the Holy Ghost, everything changed. It wasn't just a moment. It wasn't just a time in my life. It's become an experience. It's become a life. When I got the Holy Ghost as a 14-year-old child, my life just turned upside down. And my perspective and the things that I longed for and hungered for, there wasn't any satisfying. There's no way I could satisfy my desire for serving God. It's just like, okay, you know, I might have done this, or I might have went there, or I might have heard this, or received this truth, or heard this song, and guess what? I'm still hungry. I'm still looking. I didn't just get a promise of eternal life. I got an opportunity to make the bride. Wow. I mean, I'm not just talking about, you know, I live my life, I die, I go to heaven. Wow, there's a whole lot more to it, isn't there? There's an opportunity for me to be used of God as an instrument of righteousness. And then it's not just that. It's the opportunity to inspire others along the way. Wow, think about that. We're here today in this congregation, and doesn't it look nice tonight? How blessed we are to have this facility and this good church to be a part of. We're here inspiring one another. How? Through our songs, through our testimony, through the Word of God being distributed, the ability and the liberty to ask questions. You don't find that in every church, I promise you. You don't find that in Babylon. Even the ministers don't have the liberty to question their doctrine. They have to follow their guidelines and the rules that are set forth and bylaws that they're given by their religious organizations. Even the preachers in these big churches here in Little Rock don't have the liberty to question how many there are sitting in heaven or how many hells there are or who can make the bride. I was talking to somebody one day about making the bride. They come knocking on our door and they were talking to us about, you know, there's 144,000 that can make the bride. And I looked at them. I said, look here at my children. I said, look at these children right here. I said, you're telling me that they don't have an opportunity to make the bride of Jesus Christ? Well, they didn't have an answer for me. You know why? Because they can't question the message. They've been given day-old bread. They've been given stale, something that's been cut. Like, you know, take a loaf of bread, go down here to the grocery store. That's not fresh. Well, it's fresh by some standards, but it's not fresh like when you pull it out of the oven. It's not fresh like manna from heaven. So we've been given a great opportunity. And so I received this message. The Bible says, they told me this, said, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. What does that mean? He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. Well, if you take... Now, here, Little Rock doesn't have any walled cities. You know, we don't... There's some communities that are gated, I suppose. And, you know, you got to punch a code or whatever to get in. I'd consider that a walled community. You know why they do that? They do that to keep others out. Safety. There's probably some communities around here that need to be walled. When we moved to Little Rock, and I called the county sheriff's office and was trying to find a report on neighborhoods. Didn't have all that available to us on the internet like you do now, and so I was curious. Where's the most highest crime, you know, area as far as living? Robbery and stuff like that. I said, well, Miss Painter, you'd be surprised, but it's West Little Rock. This was 10 years ago. It may have changed in sin. I said, people are gone to work, and they've walked away, and they've left their homes. You know, and this was really before alarms, and I know it was before, you know, video monitoring, stuff like that. It's probably changed some since then, but you know, they people were gone to work and left their homes or valuables sitting, you know, wherever in their garage or whatever, and people were getting robbed on a regular basis. Well, so there's a reason to have a walled city, I suppose. Here in Little Rock, number 6 in the nation. Wow, I didn't know that verse. So here we sit in this city. You're not in fear tonight. You shouldn't be in fear, and I'll say more about that here in a second. It said, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. You have no defense. Now, I'm going to tell you, Brother Michael almost provoked me to evil. No, I'm just kidding. We were having lunch today, and we were talking about something that happened to Gladys and I, very personal, and Sister Sherry, bear witness, so I'll have to repent, I guess. Well, this is getting bad. I better stop. We were talking about something, about this person in the medical field that absolutely did evil to my family. Violated she violated our personal liberties in a criminal way. It was bad. And it stirred up such an anger in my heart, I had to ask the Lord to forgive me of my thoughts while Brother Michael and I were talking about it. But you know, the Bible says that he that hath no rule over his own. I had to bring myself into subjection right there. I had to rule my spirit. No. I'm trusting the Lord. And God gave me wisdom and he delivered us from that situation. And I praise him for it. I don't want to be a person who has no rule over my spirit. You can be provoked. People are provoked to do stupid things. They drive defensive. There's a word I can't think. Aggressively driving. Road rage. Thank you. People get provoked to road rage. They get provoked to striking someone. They get provoked to saying things that they regret. Doing things. Or you can be provoked in a lot of ways. You can be provoked by a salesman to buy something you shouldn't. You can be provoked to spend your money unwisely. You can be provoked in a lot of ways, and usually it comes back around to the fact that you don't have rule. There's no rule over your spirit. You don't have yourself in check. So you don't have a defensive up. You don't have a safety barrier between the evil and the world. So I learned about that, just to make it sum it up right. I learned that I was given the gift of the Holy Ghost to bring my spirit under rule. Wow. I didn't know I even had a spirit. And then I found out I could have the Holy Ghost to help me control it. Then to take it a step further, we live in a world today where our children, just tie on a little bit to what Brother Smith said a few nights back, our children are terrorized. God help me. If I'm not careful, I'm the guilty party. If I'm not careful, I'm terrorizing my children by exposing them to all the hurt and all the anguish of the world. Something that they can't do anything about. Something that they can't change one thing about. And if I'm not careful, I'll put them in a circumstance, a situation, where all they're hearing about is all the killing and the murdering and the thievery and the thuggery and all the wickedness that goes on in the world, and they're sitting there quivering in fear, and all I'm doing is just talking about it. I'd rather talk about something good. I'd rather talk about something that helps build them up, something that inspires them. I'd rather edify them into love and good works instead of provoking them to evil. I'd rather let them realize that God is great, and no matter what comes in this world, thank God there's nothing to be afraid of. We're trusting a mighty God. Hallelujah. And regardless of whether it's your own personal life that you're struggling with, your own thoughts of evil thoughts that you're working on, or it's the actions of others, or it's the criminal mind out here and the devil working in the world, regardless of where it's coming from, thank God, just let God help you with it. Put your trust in him and let him know that, Lord, come what may, whatever comes my way, hallelujah, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, Lord. Thank God, and I'm going to do my best, Lord, to make the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm going to make that my goal and not settle for anything less. Hallelujah. I want to walk justly. Oh, God. And you know what? He wants you to. He wants you to walk justly and righteously. And you want to know what else? So does the ministry. I fear the ministry. I fear, like one writer said, that this is a dreadful place. I have great respect for the house of God. And I fear, I fear in the sense that I don't want to touch God's anointing. But on the other hand, I want to have enough love in my heart and humility that I just receive. without fear or favor. I just want to receive whatever good the Lord has for me. And you know, I was reading, I want to point out a scripture in Romans 1 that it just struck me a little different. I hadn't read it like that before, and I liked it. I want to share it with you. Apostle Paul in Romans 1 says that Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. He said, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this is the same man that Paul had persecuted. He had persecuted the children of God. He said, concerning the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Now that scripture right there said he was declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness. And I'm going to venture out here a little bit and say that we've all been given a spirit of holiness, in the sense that we've been baptized in God's Spirit. And we have that. It shouldn't be foreign to us, although it is, and that frustrates me. It probably does you too sometimes, in that it's God's Spirit. We've been baptized with the Spirit, spoken in unknown tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. We felt His Spirit. We've been moved on by His Spirit. Why should it be so foreign to us? Why should we have such a hard time pressing through the flesh to feel His Spirit? I'm working on that. Said He was given unto us according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. He's talking to the Romans. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. You're all called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now that I like that verse too. Here he was, he said, your faith, their exercise of faith. You know, people talk about this church. I'm talking about Little Rock right now. People talk about our exercise of faith. Around the nation, you go to meetings. They recognize this assembly. They recognize the work and the labor that's gone on through the years, and they recognize the work and the labor that's going on today. It's our exercise of faith. It's our reputation. We don't have to be ashamed of it. Now, there's things that may have hurt us, things that, you know, there's moments that aren't as good as others, but there's a lot of good. There's a lot of good to talk about, and there's a lot of good happening. You're in a good place. Praise the Lord. And so here Paul, he said that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Here he is. He says, God is my witness. I'm praying for, he said, I always pray for the church, the Roman church. He said, now get this. He said, making requests if by any means now at length I may have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you. And I realize I'm passing over some of this. He said, that I may be comforted together with you by your mutual faith, both of you and me. Now get this next verse. Here's Paul He's wanting to visit these people. He prays for them. He's asking God for a prosperous journey. He has a desire to be there. He loves them. Their faith is renowned. He knows that they're doing, but he has a desire for them to be established. Now, what are they being established into? Not into him. He said, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I've purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." You know what Paul was desiring to do? It wasn't Paul and the church in Rome. He was just trying, he just wanted to give them some of himself. He just wanted to share it because he was just wanting to see that church prosper. He said that I may also establish some fruit. He didn't take all the credit. He didn't put himself ahead of the church. He didn't make himself greater, like he was the most significant member. He didn't do any of that. He just had a deep desire to establish them and for them to have more fruit. And I'll tell you, Brother Smith, one of the hardest things for me is to trust that the ministry is here just so that I can have more fruit. The ministry is just here for each and every one of us, just so that we can grow a little more, just so that we can have a little more righteousness, a little more holiness, a little more joy, a little more peace, a little more happiness, a little more confidence, a little more contentment. Hallelujah. Wow. Isn't it amazing what the Lord has done for us? He set us under a fivefold ministry. You can read about it in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And he's given them a call and a charge to watch over God's people, to help bring us into perfection, to help bring us to the place where we can all, each and every one of us, young and old, thank God, rich or poor, sick or healthy, each and every one of us can be brought to a place in our life, hallelujah, where we can make the bride of Christ. He's given us a counsel, if you will, that brings safety upon our lives, hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, Shatalamahasi. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. It's still the same. It still feels good tonight, here talking about it. It feels just like it did when I first heard about the fivefold ministry and the multitude of counselors and the safety that I can have, hallelujah, and the promise, oh God, that I can make life eternal and be a ruling element, be a part of the ruling element. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a great place we're in tonight. Oh, what a great calling the Lord has brought upon us to be a part of this church, to have this message planted down in our lives, thank God. Oh, I'm so thrilled. I'm so happy that the Lord reached down his loving hand one day and plucked me up out of the miry clay, thank God, and set my feet on the path to stay, hallelujah. Oh, I've been here, I've been walking this road a long time, and I'm not about to quit because I mean to make it, thank God. The Lord called me. He called me to perfection, and he's calling you to that same eventful a day in our life where he said, my work here is finished. Oh, I'm missing. Henceforth, the crown of righteousness is laid up for me. Thank you. Oh, I've finished my course. I've run the race, and I've kept the faith. Keep the faith tonight, saints of God. Don't be discouraged. Don't let health or sickness, don't let disappointment or sorrow, don't let poverty or riches distract you from your goal, thank God. Stay on the firing line. Stay on the firing line. Don't let your family drag you down. Don't let your friends keep you back. Don't let the things of life, the deceivableness of riches hold you back. Stay on the firing line. Be truthful. Be faithful to your calling. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God, the Lord's called you to be faithful. Oh, hallelujah. I think just the other night somebody was talking about, I think his brother Pryor was talking about, straight is the gate. And he said, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. You ever notice that? It didn't say even that they got to walk through the gate. It just said that they found it. We wonder about that sometimes. Why did so-and-so leave? Why did so-and-so not last? How come they didn't stick around? You know, this gate is so rare. This place that God has brought us to is so rare that it's not for everybody. It said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. But then it says, wide is the gate, and broad is the way, and many go therein. They find it, and they just keep on walking. Because it's easy. It's really hard. The eventual outcome is death. But we found the gate. Now what are we going to do? We're going to be faithful. We're going to be faithful to our calling. Hallelujah. I'm happy to be in the house of God tonight. I hope you feel encouraged. I hope you feel that you can make it. This is for you. This is, the Lord has called us. And I like that song. He wouldn't have called us if He didn't want us. He means for us to make it. There's another one. He means for us to make the bride of Christ. Hold your head up. Don't be discouraged. Trust the Lord. In spite of everything, trust Him. Just keep trusting Him. Don't let the wickedness of the world get you down. Just keep your faith and keep your eyes on Him and trust Him. Praise the Lord.
Words we've heard tonight, and reminded me. Well, I don't know what reminded me. I'm kind of scatterbrained right at the moment, but just thinking about earlier this week. I don't know if it's something that somebody posted on Facebook on their status or what brought it to my mind, but that chorus has been on my mind. The Lord dwells in the praises of His people, and that just kind of stayed with me. You know that a lot of times I come to service and the cares of life, all the thorns that have grown up and choked things out and everything are all in my mind, and this and that and what's going wrong and bills that got to be paid and, you know, just whatnot, all the things that have to be done and I can't keep up and, you know, all those things. Life is just so crazy and hectic, it seems like, these days. And you know, I come in and sometimes I think I just, you know, I've heard people say this before. It's kind of like, you know, bless me if you can, God. You know, yeah, really, you know, do something for me if you can get through all this that I've built up. And I thought, but that's not, you know, that's not going to get me what I need. I'm going to go out just as burdened and just, you know, if I don't open things up. A few weeks ago, somebody sang that song. I've opened all the windows, thrown wide every door. And that has been with me, I guess, since we sang it. I don't know if it's been 3 or 4 weeks now. But to me, it seemed like I was impressed that I've opened all the windows. That's what, and I've thrown wide every door. I can't just come in here and say, well, Lord, I need something from You, and I want You to come in this door. I want it this way. You know, I want a slow song, and I want, you know, and somebody else go up for prayer first, and you know, we've had all those thoughts, you know, or I want so and so to get up and really fire me up, you know, and give a good talk, and that'll you know, and sometimes that may not be the way He wants to come in. That may not be the way He wants to bless me. But if I haven't opened every window, thrown wide every door, you know, you don't tell the King of everything, the King of all. yeah, I want you to come visit me, but you got to come at this time, and I want you to come this way by this road, and, you know, knock on this door, and, you know, you don't do that. If you want the king, you make yourself available to him. You know, here I am. You know, do you want to come for lunch? You want to come for dinner? You want to come at midnight? Fine. You know, I'll be ready for you. You just let me know how and when you want to visit. I'll be available. You know, how many times have I done that for natural? You know, natural people, natural friends. I got people out in other churches. You know, you come through Little Rock? Yeah, let me know. We'll work it out. Whatever. You let me know you're coming through. If I can do that for family or friends, how much more for God? How much more can I make myself available to him? Yes, there's a lot going on. And this song, you know, we're talking about our blessings and the wonderful call we have. And yet, it's so easy to kind of forget that and think, you know, just do something for me, God, you know. And I'm thinking, I need to bless him. I need to thank him. I don't want to come in asking him, Lord, I want you to fix this and I want you to do this. And, you know, there's time for those kind of prayers, I know. But I just want to come in and bless him. I want to be reminded, like Brother Smith did today, of what I'm called for, the awesome privilege, the wonderful calling we have, the truth that we have, and I want to appreciate that. I want to just thank God and bless him for what he's done. Has he done anything good for you? Just ask yourself, has he done anything good for you? And even if you can't think of something today, I mean, has he blessed you in any way? Has he done anything worth praising him for? You know, he has. He's done. He's saved us. He's given us this gift. He's placed us in this wonderful place. And probably besides all of that, you can think of natural, physical ways that he's blessed you. He's healed me. He has saved my life physically on more than one occasion. I know that. How easy it is to forget what he has done. How easy it is to forget. And I don't want to forget. I want to thank him. I want to bless his name. I want to praise him for what he's done and for what he's given. I could ask you for a miracle. You know I stand in need. I could seek your hand to move and touch my family, but I push aside these temporary trials that I face. Lord, I just want to bless you with my just once more before. could ask you for a miracle, Lord, you know I stand in need, and I could seek your hand to move and touch my family, but I push aside these temporary trials that I face. Oh Lord, I just want to bless you with my praise. Oh, and I've come to bless your holy name again. Just once more before I say amen. Oh, my Jesus, my Redeemer, my Savior and my friend, Lord, I've come to bless your holy name again. I could never count all the many ways you've made my life.
Worthy. Reach out and love him a little bit. He's your Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Bless the Lord.
My words could never fully tell.
Praise God. Well, it's been a good day. Appreciate the good words from these Brother Fisher and Brother Painter. They're good. Both of them are good preachers. I'm glad they're here. I appreciate them, along with the rest of the elders. Let's see. This weekend actually was the weekend Brother Fitzsimmons was supposed to be here. I'm looking forward to him coming. I think he's about 80 years old, maybe a little older. But he's a good preacher, and he's got a really good message on the tabernacle. And I don't know what he'll get on while he's here, but I hope he gives some of that. But he fell and hurt his foot, and it's all swollen up, and he's been to the doctor. It's not broken or anything. He's grateful for that, but it's got him out of pocket or out of kilter for a little while. So if he's feeling better, maybe next weekend, or he said it'd really be better probably if it's after the El Dorado meeting, which is May the 14th, 15th, and 16th. So I'll let you know on that. Also, I want to remind you again, the Dominican trip is the 20th through the 25th to go to the Dominican Republic. If you'd like to go, I think there's 13 going from Wichita. My wife and I will go. I hope she'll be able to go with me. For sure, I'm planning on going. And so that, I think, will be an interesting trip. So pray about it. God may make a way for you to get to go. Sister Fisher? I'm sure we can, some. Okay, yes, we probably can. I have enough Sky Miles status that I get an extra bag free, so I probably can take a suitcase full of stuff. Sometimes I'll do that, and then I'll put one suitcase inside the other and bring it back. Most of the time, they talk me out of the extra suitcase. So, anyway, be praying about that. It's been a good day, hasn't it? Been a full day. I enjoyed this morning service too. Of course, I got to talk, but I was inspired, and I love the Word of God. I appreciate these good things that we worked on in the Bible study, and just followed it right on through the service. And so it was. In fact, I'm thinking about having Brother Painter just put that out on the website and ready available for all, and see where it goes. I know it has a few controversials in there, but you know, we're working on those too. Praise God. You want to stand on your feet? Give God a praise. Good to see Brother and Sister Pryor made it back in. Safe. Miss them when they're gone. With Jaron and Justice here, it kind of took up the slack, you know, but we still missed Ma and Paul a little bit. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy. Oh, Lord, for touching us, your good spirit, the good word of God. Lord, we love you. ask you to help us, oh God. Everything we do, oh God, let us praise you. Let us look for your direction, Lord. Go with us this week. Lead us, direct us, guide our steps. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of you in everything we do. Oh God, we love you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your blessings. Amen. All right, shake hands and be friendly.